We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemfusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemfusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemfusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, Hemfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, writing for American Greatness on rock and roll. A peculiar turn in rock and roll, music from my youth, and Thaddeus came to rock and roll as a very, very good student, playing the guitar and participating in bands. And my memory of rock and roll is that it was rebellious, but then again, I was a teenager, and I didn't notice people complaining about rock and roll. I knew there was something about Elvis before my time. And I remember there was something about the Beatles having long hair, mop hair, they called them. But that didn't seem too upsetting. I want to hold your hand. Then came the Rolling Stones. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. The Rolling Stones were always an edgy version of the Beatles, and it confused me as a teenager. Why was there this attraction to the Rolling Stones when we had these sweet, cuddly characters, the Beatles? What was the magic of the Rolling Stones in the 1960s? Why did they succeed with their lyrics and with their attitude? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I came to the Rolling Stones through the Beatles. The Beatles were my first love. And when you look at the historical record, actually the marketing was an inversion of their stories. The Beatles were working class from Liverpool and were anything but cuddly working in Hamburg and the Reeperbahn district. And, you know, the Rolling Stones, which are kind of lower middle class kids, kind of sweet kids themselves, when you put them together and Andrew Lou Oldham packaged them, they became the bad boy answer to the Beatles. And so they basically became the anti-heroes of the rock and roll movement, which a mantle so many other people claimed. But as you went along, you continued to see that in their work, they were a blues-based band. They weren't so much a pop band, although they did have a lot of pop hits. But they loved the blues. They loved that tradition. And a lot of their songs was founded on that. When you tie in the bad boy, rebellious rock and roll attitude, what you had was, I would think, the epitome of what rock and roll was supposed to be, which is great music, which was undergirded by a spirit of freedom and artistic liberation. And that's what the Rolling Stones became.
They've been touring for more than 50 years, more than 55 years. I don't know. They've been touring for 100 years. Recently, however, there's been a tension of their tour because of some of the music, some of the songs they played in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. What is the objection, as you understand
it? Well, the objection was, and it's a long-standing objection from people on the left, to the song Brown Sugar. Now, it's a song that actually I think really was about heroin at the time. But they also included some antebellum lyrics about slavery and other things that I don't necessarily want to go into on the radio. But this is no different than a whole lot of their songs, or a whole lot of the rock and roll songs from any period of the rock time, which is from the mid-60s on. And so what you have is a continuation of people demanding that the Stones not play this song, stop playing this song, it stopped being played on the radio, blah, blah, blah. And at this point in time, Given that their rebellious stamina of youth has seeded into venerable old age, might very well be their last tour. They lost their brother and bandmate, Charlie Watts, recently, the drummer. So they've decided to put it on hold for this tour. Now, I've seen them. They've made concessions to censors in the past, notably on the Ed Sullivan Show, when they changed the lyrics to "Let's Spend the Night Together" to "Let's Spend Some Time Together," with Jagger rolling his eyes every time he said the line. So they have made concessions in the past, and at this point in time, it's very disappointing because, as you know, John, with these censors will then go through their entire catalog and find other things that they don't like, which will not be hard to do for these people because that's all they do is criticize and cancel people. They will then say that the Rolling Stones' entire catalog is so rife with misogyny, racism, and everything, sexism, everything else, that they should be canceled altogether and no one should listen to them. And that's what will come next. I mean, look, if you're canceling Thomas Jefferson, how hard is it going to be to cancel Mick and Keith?
19th Nervous Breakdown, Sympathy for the Devil. It goes on and on and on. But that is, we knew as young people, this is the 60s and 70s, never ever take rock and roll seriously. It wasn't about anything but dancing, having fun, being young. Do the young people of today miss out on that? Do they think rock and roll is some political act?
Well, John, you have to remember that what undergirded rock and roll was that spirit of rebellious freedom. Now, obviously, I think a lot of the woke people aren't the happiest, most fun-loving people you're ever going to come across because they're too busy destroying things. So when you look at it, I remember talking about rock and roll to people who've emigrated to the United States, and that was one of the reasons that they came to love the United States. In fact, there's a PBS documentary on the fact about how the Beatles helped knock down the Berlin Wall and end the Soviet Union, because when rock and roll started coming into the Soviet Union, it was that spirit of rebellious freedom that led the Soviet youth to want to find something better, to express themselves, to throw off the shackles of a totalitarian regime, communist regime, that did not allow them to express themselves, did not allow for free expression, did not allow for individualism, but only offered stagnation and collectivism. So when you look at it, that spirit of rock and roll that is under attack, not only in the arts in the United States, but free political speech in general, is being attacked by the woke leftist fascists, the censorious left. If they have their way, we will be right back to the Soviet Union, which is ironic, given the fact that the United States was the home of rebellious artistic freedom known as rock and roll.
From a report published in 1994 about socialist realism, Soviet socialist realism and music, this is referring to events in the new economic policy, 1928-29. Following the meetings, a humiliating public apology was published bearing the signatures of the accused composers. Composers stated that they were, quote, tremendously grateful, unquote, to the Central Committee and Comrade Stalin for the, quote, severe but profoundly just criticism of the present state of Soviet music. In this letter, the composers acknowledged that they moved away from socialist realism and confirmed that they would use their artistic mastery to reflect the lives and struggles of the Soviet people. I'll stop there, Thaddeus. Do you think this is too ironic to communicate the point that what we're witnessing we've seen before and it didn't go well?
No, I think that it's unfortunate that this is lost upon so many people. But then again, John, we also understand that human nature does not change. There are always going to be those people who try to weaponize language, weaponize the laws to prevent dissenting points of view or viewpoints from being expressed. So we're living in a period of time where there are people, some people who, even if they knew the history of it, would not recognize that they are the bad guys, that there is nothing more narcissistic nor offensive than a censor who wants to silence you and prevent you from hearing other points of view for your own edification.
It turns out Soviet socialist realism was whatever Stalin said it was. Today is the Church of Woke, the woke censorship, the canceled culture, is whatever is it whatever they say it is? Is that it? Is that to understand that there are no rules? It's just that if they say it's unacceptable, it's gone.
What they've done is they've weaponized their own ideology, so it's a double-edged sword. It kills both disbelievers and adherents. So the disbelievers and the disciples are equally in danger, and all it depends is who's wielding it and who they're wielding it against. In the end, this is why all these left-wing revolutions all devour their own children. And children that don't listen to rock and roll, might I add.
This pledge from the composers who apologized to Stalin: we give to you and to the whole Soviet people a sworn pledge that we shall direct our work along the path of socialist realism, tirelessly laboring to create, in all musical forms, models worthy of our great epoch, striving to make our music beloved by the whole great Soviet people, so that the great ideas that inspire our nation in its universally historic deeds of valor shall find living and vivid expression in our art. Long live our leader and teacher, father of the nation, great Stalin. Is that a paragraph that would inspire the people advancing the cancel culture? Would they be inspired by liberating us from our dissenting thoughts?
Yes, they would liberate us and heal and educate us, just like Uncle Joe would, Uncle Joe Stalin. So when you look at it, all you got to do is remember one thing, God. Stalin didn't rock. He just killed everybody.
Thaddeus McCotter. He is American greatness. The Rolling Stones will rock on here and in eternity. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.